Welcome to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. Mike is one of the nation's top realtors and is highly regarded as an authority in residential real estate sales. Mike Bell has nothing to sell but great wisdom. You're going to love this show. Now, here's Mike Bell.
And we're back. The Mike Bell Real Estate Show is back with another great episode. And today we'll be talking about residential foundation inspections with Inspector Dan Leach. My name is Abby Navarette, and I'm the client care director for Mike Bell, and we'll be with you for the next hour. Mike is a licensed California real estate broker at Keller Williams International in Pasadena. Mike is being featured in the Wall Street Journal as one of the top 0.005% of all agents in the nation. I hope I said that right. All I know is that Mike sells a lot of homes and has amazing connections. He's been helping people for 20 years. Mike, you know, it looks like you're getting a little antsy. Oh,
sorry. Yep. Hi, Abby. I'm just excited about the show. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mikey.
I'm glad to have you back. Thanks.
Thank you for having me back. It always is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be a blast.
Okay, hold on. Just before we get started, you know what? Just want to let everyone know, you email us with your questions at mikebell@kw.com. That's mikebell@kw.com. You can also call us live at 888-GO-FOR-IT. That's 888-463-6748. And Mike's personal cell phone is 888-401-1555. Again, that's 888-401-1555. 1555, and you can also find him easily on the web.
All right, so we're back. Thank you, Abby, very much. I appreciate it. We're back with Dan Leach.
Yes.
You are a home inspector. We did a show with you a few weeks ago, and how many inspections have you done in your career? I forgot.
I think we did the math, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we'd multiplied.
3.5.
No, I think we did 24 years times like 500 a year, and that's, I don't know, 12,000?
I think it was 12,000.
Yeah,
it's a
lot. You
did an inspection this morning, so it was 12,001.
Yes.
Thanks for taking away from your schedule, your busy schedule, to do the show.
You're welcome.
So we're here to talk about home foundations. We're going to talk about types. I'm hoping to take out the mystery out of, you know, what everybody talks about. Everybody just freaks out sometimes about foundations. So we're just going to talk about the basics. And we had a nice lunch today. I hope that fish wasn't too spicy. That's what the water's here for.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to cut it. You got some, okay, whatever.
Well, if you haven't heard the first show that we did with Dan, it was just on general home inspections. And obviously, if you're not listening to this live, even if you're listening live after the show, you can stream it. And you can just go to TalkZone.com or obviously the MikeBellRealEstateShow.com. And you can scroll down to the archives, and there's going to be a picture of Dan. Actually, just a picture. It's just half your face.
Is that what's up right now, just the half face?
It's just the half face.
You're going to put the gigantic me up?
The gigantic me, you, goes
me.
Up
yeah.
with this show.
I love it.
It's a great. who did that photo?
I did that.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Are you a cell phone?
No.
Very, kind of like Wild West-ish.
I'm a professional. I don't use cell phone pictures.
Sorry. We'll edit this out.
Yes, thank you.
All right. So you can stream it if you'd like. So it's all about regular home inspections.
Mm-hmm.
And that's anybody can listen to that. It's pretty easy. Actually, TalkZone's great. The plugins are, you don't have to have a fancy computer to make it work. It just pops up and starts playing for you. Let's talk about the basics of foundations.
Yeah. Let's do it.
My house is built in 1914. We're going to have a 100-year birthday for it. And in Pasadena here, I have an old historic craftsman. And prior to 1914, I'm not sure when, it was very common, and it's common anywhere in the world, that you use the materials that are in your backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even around the late 1800s in Pasadena was mostly a riverbed, an ancient riverbed, and there's arroyo stones. So if you come to Pasadena, we have the arroyo seco, and there's arroyo stones all over the place. And back in the old days, they would just take the stones out of the ground, mix it with cement, and they would build a foundation.
That's what they did. Yeah.
And we're going to talk about those foundations.
Oh, good.
And over time, things have progressed, and technology has progressed, and engineering, and we've had the ravages of earthquakes out here.
Mm-hmm.
The codes have changed. And so we're going to talk about all the different kinds of foundations. And this is really just geared towards houses. which is what you mostly residential.
Yeah, mostly residential. A little bit of commercial, but yeah, we're just going to talk about house foundations. That's where most of the good stuff is.
Well, it's fun. In my career, what I've found is more and more that the buyers on my transactions, they're hiring a general inspector, but they're also hiring a foundation inspector. And that's just, I don't know, I don't sell real estate outside of the, you know, the general Pasadena, San Gabriel area. Mm-hmm. We have most of our housing stock was built prior to World War II. Mm-hmm. I would say most of those foundations, you know, they're old. The code changes all the time.
Yeah.
They're now doing regular foundation. I mean, they're hiring another inspector just for the foundations.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I mean, a lot of times when I do my inspection, I'm recommending if there's some issues with the foundation that they have a follow-up with a foundation contractor, retrofitting contractor, whoever's needed out there. It appears that more and more people now, buyers are, if it's an older home, are just having that foundation contractor come out at the same time as I'm out there, or maybe, you know, maybe even before. I've had that actually this last week where I had an inspection set up. The buyer's agent had a foundation contractor to go on out and take a look at the property, and they found out that it was not in good shape, and so they decided not to keep me because they weren't going to go through with the deal. So, I mean, you know, sometimes there's some real issues with these foundations, especially if they're built turn of the century, 1920s, 1930s.
Let's talk about types of foundations. What are the types of foundations? Generally, what do you see for a house?
Yeah, you have newer houses. Most newer houses, anyway, have a slab foundation, which is basically it's a slab over grade. It's a big hunk of concrete that's poured on top of the soil in footings. With that type of foundation.
What's a footing?
A footing is just basically it's a trench that is dug into the dirt, and then it's filled with concrete. Usually they have rebar, reinforcing bar inside their steel bar, with foundation bolts, and if it's newer. And that's really all that a footing is just a trench in the ground with concrete filled in. And then the other types of foundations we have are a lot of the older houses have raised foundations, which means that there is a crawl space underneath. And the different types of materials that they used kind of all go across the whole gambit. We have the original stone, which you're talking about, the rock, riverbed rock. That was very, very common because it was a very abundant material to use. And they also have brick.
Free, too, back then.
Yeah, I mean, free.
A lot of times you just dug it up in your backyard.
That's pretty much it, yeah. We also have brick. Mm-hmm. And then we have concrete poured in place of what they call monolithic poured concrete foundations. Mm-hmm. Now, houses, well, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of you. Maybe not. I don't know. What are you going to talk about right now?
No, let's keep talking. I want to talk about the types.
Okay, the types of foundations. That's pretty much it. The houses built before 1933 typically did not require foundation bolts. It wasn't until the Long Beach earthquake that the codes changed in California, and then from that time to present, we have to have foundation bolts. But before that, they did not.
Interesting. So, and I just so everybody knows, I know what a footing is, but I just, you know, so a lot of people, the very basic terminology, we were just talking about how there's a lot of stuff that we know, but it's there's a lot of stuff that you know, average people just don't know.
We take for granted.
We take it for granted. We do it every day, all day long. So so you've got a slab foundation where basically maybe you cut into a hillside, but you just have level ground and you pour a footing. I'm sorry, you have
a trench.
A trench, and mm-hmm. you just pour a whole bunch of cement in there, and prior to that, usually you put your pipes up and stuff like that where your drains are going to go, right?
Right. Well, I mean, that's in simplest terms. You don't just throw a bunch of concrete on the ground, but...
Well, I do.
I've seen your house, yeah. but, I mean, obviously you have form boards, so you can control where the concrete ends up, and but yeah, that's pretty... In simplest terms, it's just basically it's concrete that's poured into a trench. And then the concrete is filled a little bit taller than the trench so that it's above grade, mm-hmm. and that's your slab.
And then you put the wood on top of that, and you just start building your house.
And then you build on top of it.
Pretty basic. Now, then you have a raised foundation that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And a raised foundation is where you dig a footing, and you dig a trench, real deep trench, and you can build footing walls.
Yeah, that's in theory, that's what we're supposed to have. I've seen houses.
That's true, in theory.
Yeah. You know, because I inspect across the whole, across the board with different ages of houses, anything from even before turn of the century, 1800s, all the way to houses that are just, you know, brand new. Mm-hmm. But I have seen houses that actually don't have footings. I've seen a lot of garages that were built in the 20s that don't have footings. And
my garage didn't have a footing when I bought the house. It was just sitting on dirt.
There you go.
We had to raise the whole house. We used car jacks. We this was 12 years ago. It was a probate that I bought. We had to raise it all up, and then we basically the bottom 6 inches was completely rotten.
Oh, yeah.
So we wound up cutting the bottom foot of the house, of the garage off, and all the shingles and everything were just shot. And we rebuilt it, and then we had to pour a foundation underneath it, dig a hole.
With a stem wall.
With a stem wall and bolts that were, when the cement was drying, the bolts were placed into the cement, and then they dried up. And then we lowered this little, it's a one-car garage. It wasn't a huge garage. It's just what they had.
Carriage house.
Carriage house, basically. And I was kind of amazed when I bought the house. At the time, I didn't think it was useful to get an inspection just because I knew the whole place needed everything. But I didn't know it didn't have a foundation back there. It was so full of stuff. It was a probate. This is what happens.
But you've learned a lot since then.
I've learned a lot since then.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So then we have raised foundations with cripple walls. Mm-hmm. And what's a cripple wall?
Well, like I tell my clients, no, it's not a wall that walks with a limp.
Okay.
So it's Did you get that, Daniel?
Did you get that, Daniel?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you listening?
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
Is he
asleep?
He is asleep.
Hey, I'm dealing with
Daniel.
A hay fever allergy, so my head's a bit clogged.
I think he's really getting sick.
You have to listen to it later. We're not going to repeat the joke.
No, because that time has come and gone.
Oh.
Yeah. So you've got a raised foundation, and basically, so you have let's talk about cripple. What is a
sure.
cripple wall?
In here again, simplest terms, it's just a stud wall that is there to make up the difference between where the foundation elevation is, where the top of the foundation wall is, and where your floor joists are. So if you don't have any cripple walls and you do have a crawl space, you're going to have a taller concrete foundation stem wall. If you do have cripple walls, then the foundation stem wall is going to be shorter, and they're going to make up the difference. Instead of, obviously, you can't just have your house hanging in the air, so they have these stud walls that are usually a 2x4, 2x6 studs, and that's really all it is. The issue or the concern that people have, and rightly so, with cripple walls is if they're unbraced. If they don't have any kind of diagonal bracing or shear wall paneling to keep them from moving side to side or diagonally during earthquake movement, they can actually act as an extra hinge, and then the whole house can end up being 2 or 3 or 4 feet to the side of the house.
I had an engineer tell me, tell me if I'm wrong, but when an earthquake hits, the energy that it goes when it goes through a house, it goes basically the damage affects the weakest spot, and it's looking to release the energy.
Sure.
And if the weakest spot is the cripple wall, or if it's say where the roof is attached to the house, if that's not braced, that's where you may see the roof just completely pop off a house, or you see houses pop off the foundations.
Yeah.
Is that?
Well, yeah. I'm not an. I'm not part of the geology. I'm not a geology major, so I don't really know everything about earthquakes. But I do know this, that the effects of an earthquake are different. How the actual energy comes through the land is different. If it's a side-to-side movement versus a kind of a vertical push, it can cause two totally different types of damages. And so that being said, you're absolutely right. If the house is not designed and built to withstand those forces, then you can end up having sometimes significant damage or a total loss.
And there's a lot of pressure already on the cripple walls, which is the space between the cement and the house, which is usually just, like you said, they're studs, which is 2x4 pieces of wood, maybe with stucco on the exterior. But if they're not braced, that's where the energy is going to go. And the energy is going to go through the whole house anyway.
That's a weak joint.
Be careful about it. Let's talk about other kinds of foundations, but we're going to go to a break. You're on the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. We're here with Dan Leach. We're talking about residential foundations, and we'll be right back.
Now, now, back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Mike Bell.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Mike Bell. I'm a real estate broker in Pasadena, and I'm here with Dan Leach.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, we were talking about foundations, foundation inspections. Dan's he's done at least 12,000, 12,001.
12,000, as of today, 12,001.
And were you underneath the house today?
No.
What kind of a house was it? Slab?
No, it was a raised foundation. Actually, technically I was because I was in the basement. Oh. I didn't have to crawl that one.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Those aren't, do you just love that?
Love
crawling,
what? Love
underneath the house?
I live for that. Every day I wake up and I...
That's a great affirmation.
Okay.
Yeah, be honest here. We can edit it out later.
Was that not convincing? All right. The reality is that all the good stuff, I mean, quote unquote good stuff, yeah. That's underneath the house. Mm-hmm. That's where all the really expensive stuff usually is. You've got your plumbing pipes, you got some electrical down there, and you got the foundation, you got the soil conditions, and that's where the goods are, man.
Well, we were talking about different types of foundations. There's also a hillside foundation.
Sure. You want to talk about that already, or are we going to go ahead and talk about deficiencies?
Let's talk about the types of foundations, and then we'll grow. We've got a lot of.
I know we're going to do a three-parter on this, right?
We probably are going to have to because I have a lot of notes and a lot of questions to ask you.
I know.
So let's talk about hillside foundations.
Okay,
how are they usually built?
Well, I mean, they're built the same. Generally, a hillside, not always, but generally, a hillside is a raised foundation where they have a crawl space underneath. I mean, there are exceptions to that. But with a hillside, you come across some other problems or potential problems. If the house is older, and here again, I've done a lot of hillside houses that were built in the 20s, and they don't have any foundation bolts. And some have actually experienced a significant amount of slippage where the topsoil has slipped, which has then allowed the rest of the house to slip along with it. One thing, too, that along with the deterioration that you can have, sometimes on a hillside you have a lot of moisture intrusion because you can have underground spring conditions. You can just have just improper grading where the water doesn't slip away from the house properly, and then water gets underneath the house, and that causes a whole slew of problems.
I would imagine that's probably the most damage to a foundation is caused by moisture.
Water.
Am I right?
Number one. Yep.
So on a hillside foundation, though, so it's basically, so you're going to dig out trenches, fill it full of cement and rebar, and then you'll probably add cripple walls to whatever your first story.
Yeah.
Or, it's usually multi-level if it's on a hillside.
They'll usually have cripple walls because they have to level the floor. And they don't like, concrete is more expensive than air. So that's the reason why they use the stud walls, so they don't have to pour the concrete that tall.
Mm-hmm. And then, so we were also talking about, there's another kind of foundation. Oh, we kind of talked about that. Hmm? None.
Oh.
How often have you gone to a house and there's really almost no foundation?
Not very often. Not very often. It's a lot of times it's on the homes that were maybe originally used as something other than an actual residence. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it can be, like a butler's quarters or something else. And then I get out there and I realize that, hey, literally it's just either sitting with posts and beams where they have posts that are embedded into the dirt and there's no foundation.
We sold a house. Daniel, remember the house that we sold up in Altadena a few years ago? It was the carriage house. It was a carriage house for a mansion. And over the years, they subdivided the lots and stuff. And this house itself, it was a barn with the living quarters above it. And the barn underneath was converted into living space. And
did I inspect that?
I don't.
God, it sounds very familiar.
It was the ground. Yeah, the carriage house was turned into a kitchen.
The carriage house, it was turned into a kitchen. But there was a lot of different foundations going on over there. And there was not enough room. It's a cute little place. Yeah. But there wasn't enough room inside the house to be able to put stairs. So to get from your bedroom to the kitchen downstairs, you had to go outside.
Yeah.
But we sold it. We still sold it because there's always a buyer for something.
People
loved it.
Did I kill that deal?
No, you didn't kill it. You know what? Actually, that did fall out of escrow.
See, there you go.
Because the buyers did freak out.
Because their inspector was scaring them. I was there.
Was that me?
There? That was like 3 years ago.
That was another inspector, right?
It was a different inspector.
Another deal killer.
Somebody not nearly as good as me.
Company with information.
Well, we were also talking about materials. There's a lot of different materials that are used. Uh-huh. I mean, I chatted about how in Pasadena it's pretty normal if your home was built before 1901 or 1902 that they'll be using river rock.
Right.
And they stick the river rock together with
cement
and
mortar.
And we were talking about, I mean, what kind of cement is it and what are the materials in that cement? We're talking about beach sand, right?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes they actually use beach sand because it was obviously cheaper. The problem with that, it has a lot of salt in it. So then the salt would just deteriorate the concrete over a number of years, and then it would just go to powder. But that even being said, you know, every single day, practically, if I'm inspecting an older house, mm-hmm. I'll see either where they have a significant amount of deterioration on the foundation or even on chimneys where the mortar joints are so deteriorated I can stick my finger right through and just brush it out.
I've done that many times. I mean, you could just sit there and you could take apart the house with your pinky.
You could.
That it just starts coming apart. Why is that? Is there something about the lime that was in there or was not in there? Or?
Well, you know, years ago, they didn't have the quality control that we do now. So pretty much now when you order concrete, you know, it comes out on a truck. It's already, you know, very, very specifically mixed before it gets to the truck at the yard. And then there's really not a whole lot of chance for them to screw it up. That being said, it does happen sometimes, but not usually. Back then, they didn't have the quality control. So it was like, well, you know, dump one or two shovelfuls of sand in here where maybe it should have taken three or, you know, whatever product they were using. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of the problem, that they just were not consistent in their mix.
It's interesting. I'm thinking about how we had this big earthquake in California, in Southern California years ago, and the 10 freeway collapsed. Mm-hmm. I think that was at La Cienega, or maybe mm-hmm. it was Fairfax.
It was La Cienega.
And they opened it up for bids, and basically they got that freeway. They tore it apart and put it all back together, I think in like 4 weeks. Or 6 weeks.
It was record time.
And the contractor that they hired, he was going to get a penalty per day that he was late, or he's going to get a bonus. And I think people were up in arms, but I think he made like a $4 or $5 million bonus because he came in way in advance. But what I thought was interesting about that is they basically had to get concrete that mixed and set really fast, but they had to do testing.
Oh yeah.
And so they did these core samples. They would test the concrete and then they would. Engineers would figure out how strong it was, and they're doing this, they do the same thing with the mortar mix. They didn't do this 100 years ago. Is my point?
No, it was like the Wild West back then.
Well, even back then, I mean, I don't know. Did you have to have a general contractor's license to build a home back in 100 years ago?
I don't know
if they even had contractor's licenses.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, they had architects.
They had builders. I mean, they had builders who did it all the time. But uh-huh. you know, I don't think there was any licensing for that.
I know there's different designations for contractor's license, but uh-huh. there's one for plumbing, electrical, general, and then there's one for foundations. There's a class. It's kind of like a motorcycle license. I mean, you know, or to drive a big rig, you have to have a special kind of driver's license.
Right. You have to know what you're doing.
Yeah. So, but they didn't have any of that back then. So,
no.
So what other materials are you seeing out there that are being used to build foundations?
Yeah. Well, we talked about the stone, mm-hmm. and then they also used a lot of brick, mm-hmm. a lot of red brick, and which actually it's a good material, but the weak joints of the brick are the mortar joints. Mm-hmm. And here again, it comes back to that concrete not really having, or cement in this case, not having the proper ratios, and over a long time of you know, just weathering and whatnot, it deteriorates. I see that a lot on like I said, on brick foundations and on brick chimneys where they have a lot of mortar joint deterioration. Also, what adds to that is moisture intrusion. So when you have a house where the grading is not properly sloped away from the house so the rainwater comes off the roof and slopes mm-hmm. back up against the house, then it mm-hmm. seeps through the foundation. That causes a significant amount of deterioration of the mortar joints, and that causes the house to have problems.
I mean, we've talked in other segments about even like termite damage. You know, mm-hmm. the number one culprit of termite issues is water. When yep. water hits wood and it dries out, it's like microwaving food for the termite, basically. It makes it easier for them to go in there and start chewing it up. And they're in at least in Southern California, they fly. We have flying termites that at a certain time in July and August, you can literally see them flying, swarming.
Yeah. They come out of the ground.
And they're going from house to house to house, yum, 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 eating up. They're just looking for people. You know, if your home needs a paint job and you have wood exposed and it's getting wet, it's called dry rot.
Yeah.
And that's what they hit. It's just
Actually, they're kind of two different things. The dry rot is a dry rot fungus, and it's a very natural occurring.
Are you getting technical on me? Go ahead, Sarge.
I would never do that on you, Mike.
Show.
I would never do that. But no, I just you know, your listeners, you're absolutely right. I want them just to understand that it's not just termites that cause a lot of damage, although they do. But dry rot is a fungus, and it's floating around everywhere. We're breathing it right now. And because we're not a dead piece of wood, it's not going to affect us. Well, at least at least not on this side of the table.
Yeah, not on this side.
Yeah, behind me maybe. Anyway. sorry, wait, Daniel.
I'm younger than you are, I think.
Okay, it has nothing to do with... Anyway, we'll move on.
Daniel, what are you looking at on the internet? He's over there looking...
The earthquake photos.
You're looking at earthquake photos?
Aren't those cool?
Yeah.
I love those.
Those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, so other materials.
That's what I try to help people from seeing in real life, actually.
We're going to need 5 segments for this, aren't we?
I think we are. We're not getting anywhere.
It's like we all have ADD, doesn't it? This is just out of control.
What'd you say? Yeah.
I can't hear you. All right. Block walls.
All right, we'll
block,
focus.
Block foundations.
Let me focus. Yeah, well, block. Block? Did we get to block?
No, we didn't. No. I'm getting to it.
Okay. You know what? Okay. We'll talk about block foundations. Yeah. And block is just what you would, you know, it's a concrete block. Now, there's different types of block, though. And so you can have a concrete block. I've seen where they have a clay block. I've seen foundations that are made out of a clay block that don't have any rebar inside of them, that don't have a solid core. They're not filled with concrete. They're literally a hollow core block. Like, I'm not thinking Lincoln Logs. I'm thinking Legos, you know, where they're not solid. Mm-hmm. And actually, Legos would probably hold up better than these clay blocks do. But
you've been to Legoland? You should see the stuff. They have talk about
focus.
ADD. But no, they have structures that are
been to
four
Legoland.
Stories high.
I love that place. It is incredible.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I don't think I'd have
the
patience.
Do you think they'll sponsor the show?
I think they could.
Let's talk
That'd
about
be great.
Blocks. Let's talk about blocks. I'm just having fun.
All right. I know you are. All right. Anyway, with the blocks, there's typically, if it's a concrete block, it's filled with concrete and they have rebar inside there. So you're not just looking at just a hollow core of a block. One of the things that we wanted to talk about too, I think, is, you know, these houses that have the problems in, are we going to talk about retrofitting yet?
No.
We're going to hit that later. Oh, it's later. Okay. We won't talk about that. Go ahead.
I got a slew of questions to ask you still.
Go for it.
So blocks.
I'm ready.
Rebar. What's rebar? A lot of people don't know what rebar is.
Is it an acronym? Is that when you shorten things? Is that what that is?
I don't know.
No.
Rebar.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I went to school. Not in English. All right. Somebody out there, please help me with this. All right. You know, it's not a contraction either. Anyway, it's just short for reinforcing bar. It's a steel bar that is formed with these kind of ridges on them. And so when you use that in addition to concrete, all right, I'm going to get a little technical here because I think we deserve that at this point. Concrete has very high compression strength, but very low tensile strength. Tensile strength basically means if you're trying to pull it apart, it's not going to hold up very well. But if you put a lot of pressure on concrete, it does very well. Steel. It's just the opposite. It has very, very high tensile strength, but not very good compression strength. So you can pull on rebar or steel, and it holds up really well, but being compressed doesn't do all that great. So when you put those two types of materials together, basically it's a composite, and we've all heard, you know, composite and all kinds of different composites, but this is kind of the first composite, if you will. And it provides a very, very solid structure. So you have then the same structure, you have high tensile strength and high compression strength.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was wonderful.
That
felt good to get off my chest.
you must have seen Daniel signaling that we had to go into a break.
Oh,
all right, we're in the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. This is going great. forget the outline, you know.
I what outline?
We're here with Dan Leach. We're talking about foundation inspections. We'll be right back.
Let's get back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Mike Bell.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Mike Bell. I'm a real estate broker in Pasadena, California with Keller Williams. I sell a lot of homes. I'm not sure how many this year.
12,001.
12,001 inspections for you, Dan Leach.
Bless
we're here with
sold.
Dan Leach, and we're doing we're talking about foundation inspections and foundations. I had a... great story. I have a client of mine, a fan of the show that called, and she's from, now I can't even remember the name. It's a small town in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I'd like to hire you, but I know I can't hire you. Can you help me find a Mike Bell? And I found somebody I think it's had the same standards and ethics and abilities and experience, and I patched them together.
Great.
And she's very, very happy, but they're supposed to sign the listing sometime this week, and so I don't know, but I have a feeling it's going to turn out great. This guy seems to be great. His name is Tom. But I want to extend that to all the listeners. It doesn't matter where you are in the nation. If you'd like to hire somebody just like me, give me a call. I've got an amazing referral network, and it is not that easy, honestly, to find a really good real estate agent, because you can go online, and some of them have great blogs. There's a guy in town in Pasadena. He's a great guy. Okay, he has an amazing website. Mm-hmm. He won an award for best blog website with the local paper. Mm. Fantastic web. He sold 3 houses. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know.
Ever?
Last year he sold 3 houses, which is good. Wow. Good for him. But it's almost like, you know, you go to a, would you hire somebody to work on your kitchen that just does 3 kitchens a year, mm-hmm. that has a great website? I think there's, I don't know. That's just me maybe. But if you need to find somebody who's really good, it's hard, because I think that it would be normal, if I don't know too much about real estate, for me to go look at that guy's website and think I should interview him because he's probably great. But
sure.
Most of my clients value that I've done a ton of business, and I'd like to think that I've seen it all. I learned something new on every transaction.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you and I are in the same kind of business. You know, it's that experience that makes us valuable. Mm-hmm. We didn't just start doing this yesterday or last year or even 5 years ago. Well, me not 5
years only, ago. I only recommend inspectors with white hair. I'm trying to give you a compliment, man.
I know. No, not it. That is. All right.
You know, white hair could be because you hate what you do.
Well, no. I think we've had this discussion last episode because of the people I have to work with, because of the agents I have to work with. Now present company accepted. But
I have a lot of therapy. I go through a lot of therapy so I can handle it. I know. In our business, we wind up.
Now I love my clients.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Okay. I do.
Why are you winking?
No, I'm not. I'm winking about the realtors out there can give you white hair, but my clients are wonderful.
That's usually what happens, is the realtors just...
They screw everything up.
Not all of them.
There's one or two that we can deal with.
Too many of them. Mm-hmm. That's true. All right.
Oh, what do you call 100? What do you call 100 realtors at the bottom of a pool?
Not enough.
Good start.
Good start. Good.
I think that's a Journey joke, but that's okay.
Is that filled with water or empty?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Is he still back behind me?
Is he there? He's still there.
All right. Thank you, Daniel.
All right. We have reader email. I think it's going to be funner to read this email than it is. So if you have a question for the show, email me at mikebell@kw.com, MikeBell. At kw.com. We'd be happy to read your questions. I have 3 questions here.
I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be great.
All right. This is from Sally. She doesn't say where she's from. She says, I have small cracks in my foundation. Do I need to worry about it? Pretty basic. Thank you for the easy question. I'm assuming that's like a raised foundation.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, let's just talk about cracks.
Okay, cracks, yeah.
It depends, too, right? Oh, sorry. Stealing your thunder. Go. I had too much coffee today.
How much dead air can you really handle, huh? Is that good for your ratings? A lot of dead air?
No.
No, okay. Then okay. All right. You know, I can't really diagnose your crack problem. Wait a minute. I need to back up a little bit. It didn't quite come out the way I expected it to.
Poor Sally.
Poor Sally. Okay, rehab's not that expensive. Anyway, as far as the cracks, you know, if they're just small little cracks in your foundation, that typically does not mean a whole lot. But that being said, it could be an indication of something more significant. So in a very political and like a politician type of way, I'm skirting around that issue, because without being able to see it, I really can't make a real good estimate of what the problems are. Little cracks are usually not a problem. What I'm looking for in cracks, okay, let me be a little more serious here. What I'm looking for when I do my inspection on a foundation, if it has cracks, I'm looking to see if on either side of the crack, if the foundation has shifted. So in other words, if you just have a crack there, okay, you got a crack. I mean, concrete cracks, it does it every day. But if it has one side is lower than the other, that could mean that we have some issues with the soil underneath.
Mm-hmm.
If it has twisted from one side to another, it might indicate that we either have a moisture problem or there could have been a tree that is putting pressure on it, or maybe did put pressure on it before and the tree was cut down or fell down. If it is opening up at the crack one quite a bit, and we're talking more than an eighth of an inch, that can indicate a whole bunch of other things too. If you have some cracking that, let's say, is opened up more on the top of the foundation wall and tighter down at the bottom, that can indicate a tree root problem, mm-hmm. where the tree is growing underneath the house and it's lifting it up. So, yeah, I mean, usually those little cracks are not really an indicator of a problem, but it takes a professional like me to really be able to look at it to ascertain whether or not it does indicate a problem or if it's just something that's very, very normal.
When I was dating my wife, I helped her with, this is how I roll. I date women and sell them houses. That's what happens
still?
With Ann and I.
Still?
No. Oh. I'm still married.
Okay. That's what I thought.
As far as I know.
Okay.
So, but she bought a 1923 home. She was
Did you really date her when you were trying to sell her a house?
Well, we were dating and then she needed to buy a house at the same time.
So it just happened.
And it just kind of happened. And it just, it was...
So what did you think when you first saw her? You just thought, gosh, she's hot.
Yeah. You know, we took pictures of each other.
Selfies?
Wait, let me back up.
Did you have clothes on?
Yes. Actually, I posted them on Facebook. We liked each other so much, and I had a brand new digital camera. This mm-hmm. is 12 years ago. And she had a digital camera, and I had...
So what is the real story?
I had a Polaroid. And we went to the park. I brought Zanku chicken up. And she had a half-hour lunch break. Oh. We went to the park, sat down, and then I know it was kind of creepy and weird, I guess.
Not at all.
we liked each other, and we took pictures of each other, and we still have the pictures. And actually, I just posted it about 6 months ago on Facebook.
That's sweet.
The picture that of her. She looks the same.
Yeah.
I
you don't
me. I've completely just I've lost it.
You have a face for radio.
Well, she bought a house. I helped her buy this house. It was mm-hmm. built in 1923, and there was something really particular about the house because
is this the house you're living in right now?
No, we don't live in it now.
Oh, okay.
We still own it though.
Okay.
And it's on Belvedere up Lake in Pasadena.
Okay.
But the house, the middle of the house kind of dives down. It's what we found out, and this is during the inspection process. We're trying to troubleshoot. It's like, why is the interior? Why is that? Why did that fail? Because mm-hmm. it seemed like it failed right when it was built or after it was built, because since then they readjusted all the frames of the house, the mm-hmm. doors, and everything fits just great.
And nothing's been sagging since.
Yeah. So we're like, well, what the heck? Why was this happening? Well, we dug more into the paperwork and asked around and went down to the city, and we found out that it was a 6-foot drain pipe that mm-hmm. was going under, went underneath the house. So they... Before all these homes were over there, they dug this hole, they put it in there, and they didn't compact it probably correctly.
Yeah.
It was a huge pipe, and I have no idea. We don't know how deep it really is. But that it seems like that's probably where it settled.
Hmm.
And so I is my girlfriend at the time, my wife, I'm fine with it still. This is what I told her, but it's probably not going to settle anymore. It's not a real reason to freak out.
Right.
It was a trust sale. It was the same owner for 40 years. They hadn't painted it in 40 years. So it was relatively easy to figure out if there's been any settlement in the last 40 years.
Sure.
And it didn't appear that there was. So I told her it's not a big deal. And I actually made a joke about it. I said, well, it's extra character. They're going to charge us more. You better be careful. Don't talk about it. Don't complain.
Yeah. Yeah. So the floor slopes quite a bit.
So the floor slope.
So yes. So when you're playing marbles, you have the hometown advantage.
You have the hometown advantage.
See? It's a good thing.
Who plays marbles, though? We have cell phones.
I don't.
You can get an app for that.
You can.
I bet you can.
I bet you can.
So
it kind of screws up your phone when you're flipping it across the floor, the floor though.
But I thought it was a good situation to be in, because first of all, we got a good deal on it because there were a lot of people that were freaked out about it, because when you walk down the hallway, you start kind of going downhill.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, I felt comfortable about it. The house is fine.
And what you learned a lot.
I don't think it's settled anymore. I actually learned an awful lot about foundations and settling and compaction and how they used to do things and how they're doing things now. And it didn't make sense for us to Well, we were thinking, what's it going to cost to fix? So what we went through, this is our process, we were looking at it going, okay, so we raise all these posts and piers and we push this up and push that up. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, all of our windows and all of our doors are going to be off.
Yep.
Even the moldings, they had changed the moldings so that they would, you know, because they were all crooked and that they straightened them all out. So I'm going to have to redo all of that and re-engineer all of that in the whole house.
And the plaster would crack because now you're moving plaster around. So, yeah.
And then it's going to settle mm-hmm. even after we do it. Just there's just this is just what happens. Mm-hmm. Things settle, right? So we didn't do anything.
Yeah. And if it's fine, it's fine. I mean,
and we're all fine with it. It's not a big deal. But it scared everybody else away. And we were able to get a good bargain for it.
So, that's great. Go. Now, you did not get an inspection on that house?
Yeah, we didn't. We got an inspection.
Oh, you did get an inspection.
I forgot who we used. I don't.
It
was 12
me.
Years ago. It was before I knew you. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry for cheating on
you. Okay. I won't hold that against you much.
We have another.
Oh, good.
Question, but we're
sorry, Sally. I really didn't answer your question. Sorry.
I guess the answer is depends on a lot of stuff. So
yeah.
if you have a question next time, more details, please.
Yes, right? Please.
All right. So we're on the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. We're here with Dan Leach. We're talking about foundations, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Mike Bell.
Welcome back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. We're here with Dan Leach, and we're talking about foundations. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Sorry, that tilapia did come up.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry. No more fish tacos, huh?
Not those. Man, they were so hot. They burn. I mean, I can still feel it in my nose.
Is blackened supposed to be hot?
I don't think so.
Because that's what we got. We both got the same thing.
It was, but anyway, okay.
All right.
We're good.
You going to survive? You going to be able to work today?
I already did work today, Mike, unlike some people.
Oh, all right, I'm going to get you back later. I'm going to edit all your stuff out. It's just going to be me.
Isn't it always anyway?
Oh, it's good. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. We have two other questions, but this is from, I can't even pronounce his name, Benny. Mike, I'm looking into a new home purchase at, I'm not going to say where it's from, and the salesman allowed us to look at the construction process. The foundation has rods, pipes that are sideways. The salesperson doesn't know what this is. Mm. What is it?
Sideways.
I'm assuming he's gone. Well, a lot of times you go to new construction sites and they build everything in phases.
Mm-hmm.
And so
oh, you know what?
I've asked to do this. I'll go over and I want to see the raw dirt. I want to see what they're doing.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I mean, what are they going to do? Say no? It's like, what are you hiding?
Right.
So I'll go look.
You know, I think what they're talking about, is it Benet?
Benet.
Okay.
Doesn't say where he's from.
Okay. Probably New Orleans. anyway, so yeah. Sorry, Benet.
I don't know.
I'm two for two. I'm sorry, Mike's listeners. Anyway, what Benet, I'm assuming it's a him, is probably talking about on new construction, especially if they have moved a lot of dirt around to create pads. So, you know, you take a big hill and you excavate and you move dirt from here and you move it over there and you compact it. And so now you're building on compacted fill dirt. And what they're doing now and have been doing for a number of years is a process called post-stressed or post-tensioned foundations. And in a nutshell, what it means is that before they actually pour the foundation, when they have the form boards up and they have their rebar and other things inside there, they have these plastic tubes that are crisscrossed in a mesh pattern. And then after the concrete is poured and after it cures for a set period of time, then they run steel rods, cables inside there. And then they have threaded ends on the end, or they put, you know, do some way of connecting so they can put actual tension. So they actually put tension on those rods in that crisscross pattern, which then it creates a very, very strong kind of a uni foundation. It's a one solid foundation or one solid piece of concrete as opposed to a big hunk of concrete that potentially could have some significant cracking, especially if the soil underneath settles a little bit. So in essence, you're just making one big hunk of concrete. It's very similar to what they use on freeway overpasses. That's all, you know, it's all poured in place concrete, but it has typically has a lot of stress cables inside of it.
That sounds like an expensive foundation.
Well, it's more expensive than not having it, but when they're building these new homes, especially on tracks, that's just part of the deal. You know, that's what they have to do.
How thick is it usually? Well, I guess it depends on how tall the...
How thick is what? The concrete?
The concrete and that foundation, that slab that they put down.
Yeah, it's going to pretty much be the same thickness as other concrete. So it's, you know, it's going to be around 6 inches thick or so.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess they would run the electrical and the plumbing and everything. And
that's all set before they pour the concrete, yeah.
So if you've got a slab foundation and you've got a plumbing issue,
mm-hmm.
and you can't get underneath the slab, I can see some problems there.
Well, it becomes more of an issue with the post-stressed concrete. And the reason is because you have these cables that are crisscrossed throughout the concrete. You can't just go cut in. In fact, it'll even say when they have these usually in the garage, there will be an imprint in the concrete. And it says, do not cut or core.
I've seen those.
Yeah, and the reason is because they don't want you to cut into those cables. Because then that releases, you know, it'll cut the cable.
Like cutting a rubber band, right?
Yeah.
You can hear a twang if you do it?
Only if you're from the South.
How many have you cut?
Only if you're from Texas. I don't know. That's a good question. That's an engineering question of how many you can cut before there becomes a real problem. But that's the reason why you don't want to cut in. And so generally, if you do have a problem with your plumbing pipes leaking, you got to just do it with a jackhammer and be careful that you don't cut into the cable.
Wow.
Don't use a concrete saw or anything else that'll just cut right through.
Now, when they have these cables and they do the tension tightening and everything like that, do they embed all of those into the cement? Or can you go on the side of a brand new home and start digging and seeing all these?
It's embedded, bolts? Yeah.
It's all embedded.
Yeah, you won't see it. So all you just see is a smooth wall on the outside. You might see some areas where they did the patching of the concrete where it is, but no, you won't see it.
Well, I would imagine it just seems like that was probably the strongest part of the whole home. And even if there is a little bit of cracking or slippage, I mean, it's not like it's all going to fall apart.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not an engineer.
No,
but
it'll stay all together.
I've seen these structures. I mean, it's pretty amazing what goes into a house before they even bring any wood or cement to the job site.
Yeah. There's a lot of prep work before they even start to even, you know, set the forms. There's a lot of prep work out there.
So the salesperson doesn't even know about this.
Well, he should know.
Well, he should know.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it.
He's not a very good salesman.
It's too bad. It's too bad.
Well, he needs to get a different salesman, I guess.
He needs to listen to the show.
Wow. Duh.
So is this a typical kind of foundation for a new home, typically? I mean, I guess, is it cheaper to do this, do you think, than to do a raised foundation with posts and piers and cripple walls? Or
slab is always cheaper.
It's always cheaper?
Yeah. It's always cheaper. Labor costs are cheaper. The material costs are cheaper. It's always cheaper to go with a slab.
The new developments that I'm seeing right now development is going crazy right now, but we've run out of land. And so a lot of it is going to be done on, not on steep hillsides, but hillsides where they have to cut out pads.
Right.
And they have to do some compaction too.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand why a foundation like that, it sounds like it's going to be better.
Makes
Obviously
sense.
It's going to be cheaper too.
In the long run,
If you're doing 100 homes at a time, it's going to be probably cheaper to do it that way, just because you're going to wind up. I mean, it solves a lot of your issues that you possibly could have if you're going to, because you don't have to re-engineer it over and over again.
Yeah, it's like a cookie cutter. So they've already got the technology down, and so all they're doing is just implementing on every single house. So you know the company that does that post tensioning. They just do one after another, and you know, like anything else, you do it a lot of times, and you get really good at it. You can do it really fast, and you can make money at it.
Is that on an older home? Is fireplace part of the foundation? Is the fireplace a foundation? I've heard. I mean, it's tied together usually.
The short answer is it's really not part of your foundation, because the only thing that the foundation of the chimney is supporting is the chimney itself.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's not really part of the house foundation, but it is still part of the overall structure, I guess.
Are they tied together? Or in the old days, an older home, did they tie those two structures together? Or what have you seen when you're underneath the house?
Not usually. Usually they'll have their foundation walls come up to the chimney foundation. You know, on new construction, new construction, you can't even build a wood-burning fireplace anymore. It has to be gas only.
California.
And so, but even when they could build a wood-burning fireplace and it was made out of masonry material, they would pour a concrete footing. Mm-hmm. That concrete footing then was tied into the footings for the house. So yes, that was all integrated into the same structure. But back, you know, turn of the century, 20s, 30s, no, they had their, they would build their chimney. A lot of times they would build their fireplace and their chimney first, and then they would go ahead and build their foundation walls up to the chimney structure.
Interesting. So, do you have any more inspections to do today? You're done for the day.
I'm done for the day, but I'm back out tomorrow.
What's the worst foundation you've ever seen?
Oh, God.
Don't say none.
None?
Don't say that you haven't, you've went to a house that didn't have it, but yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. As in no foundation. Oh, God. You know, well, I can't really say what was probably the worst, but I've had some that have been for, we'll deal with a couple of things I'll talk about. There was one that I did this last week. It was an older house, probably about 1922, 23. Did not have any foundation bolts originally, but somebody at some point, probably about 10 or 15 years ago, had put a skim coat of cement on the interior, basically to line it. And then they did some retrofitting this did have bolts, but they weren't right. They did some retrofitting with some bolts, and it was really improper the way they did it originally. But because this house had so much moisture intrusion that all that skim coat was blistering off. So from an initial perspective, it looked like the foundation was in horrible condition. But actually looking at it a little bit further, realized that it was just that skim coat that was coming off and not so much the foundation wall. That being said, there was still a lot of deterioration of the foundation wall, but not as bad as it really appeared at first.
So basically it's a pretty bad retrofit.
It
wasn't really a retrofit.
They didn't do a good job.
Yeah.
They just didn't.
So I'd like to have you back for another segment, and we just talk about retrofitting because we didn't even get to go to retrofitting. But we're here on the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. We're here with Dan Leach. Dan, what's your email? Or how do people contact you?
Okay, there's a couple ways you can get a hold of me. You can call me directly, which goes to my office. It's 626-914-9114. Or they can email me at aqi@email.com. That's E as in Edward, aqi@email.com.
Well, thank you for having us. Daniel, thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dave in Chicago. And we'll be back next week. Thank you, Abby. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you guys later.
The opinions expressed in the Mike Bell Real Estate Show are solely those of the host and do not reflect the opinions of anyone at TalkZone.com, Keller Williams Realty, any board of realtors, or anyone for that matter. Always hire a real estate attorney when making real estate decisions. Do not try any of this at home.